You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Seven and a half minutes past the hour, the Rick and Bubba Show. Thank you for being with us. Kickoff hours behind us, so Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, and Helmsy, they're already stretched out. Look, hey, they're warm, they're ready. Put them in the game. Adler settles in. He's stretching out. He's got the YouTube experience for you. Live and archived again today. Yeah. Bubba and I are rolling in as well. I be Rick, and there sits the silver tongue one, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eaters, man of the year, the inventor of pizza and a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the Kang's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussett!
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere, come on in. Let's get it started.
Everybody.
Miles and miles wide open for me.
How about old Blackberry Smoke?
How about that?
I like them.
I like it.
I hear that.
I like it.
I make the same wish that I always do.
I like when he says, I'm just fool enough to think it might come true.
That's kind of a nice way to say you might have something.
That's right.
We know that ain't right. I'm on a spit in one hand and a whoosh in the other.
Golly, that's a good one. Of course, I went on to work with some really hard men and realized that our mamas had actually kind of made a different version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize they had a version as well.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
a little watered down.
Well, I'll say the version they had, your hand would fill up quicker.
Yes, it would.
But anyway,
a lot quicker. Yeah.
Well, hey, Bubba, how about you, buddy?
How about it?
Hey, ain't much left of me, but here I am, still here.
Here I am.
Let me tell you something.
Two old threads.
And this is a sick thing with our little group here, but. And I think it, like I said yesterday, our defense mechanism is humor, and it's all it's how we help. And when any of us get in like major distress and duress, when we turn and go to start trying to protect ourselves with humor, when Bill Bussy sent to the team Rick and Bubba text yesterday night, how something just hits you.
Well,
so right, and it was a moment I could take some time and look at it, and I could give it what it needed, and I gotta tell you something,
Rick. I was in a restaurant. Yes. I was showing it to people I didn't even know.
Right? Yeah,
it was so good.
Here it is. Look, all right, Adler's got it pulled up. So here we go.
Hey guys, just want to say hello from beautiful Lake Martin, where it's just another beautiful day in paradise.
Look behind me.
That was good.
Thank you for doing that for us. I hope it helps you, but thank you for.
Well, you know, there's times you find yourself in a corner.
Sure.
And, you know, by your own choosing or maybe not.
Sure.
And you're in this corner and you have a situation and it's emotional and it's difficult.
Yeah.
And you basically have to, you know, not doing anything is not an option.
Mm-mm.
You can't just lie down.
Don't even have that option.
You can't just sit down and go, I'm not going to participate. You got to do something.
Yeah.
So you're faced with one or two emotional responses, I feel like.
Mm.
You can cry or you can laugh.
Yeah.
But it's got to get out somehow.
Somewhere.
And you might as well laugh, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because crying ain't going to change nothing.
It ain't going to help.
No.
It ain't gonna, well, and laughing ain't going to really help anything. But, you know, you got to bleed that energy off somehow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I find myself wanting to say something that I've thought about. And it's a conversation you and I have had before, but we had just had it again. But I almost think there's no way for me to have it on the air without everybody going, you know, not liking us. So I'll just tell you in the break.
Okay. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, there's certain things, you know, like, you're okay. You know, I think it'll get that response from the haters.
Sure.
So I just think I'll tell you in the break.
I don't know
it was very ironic. You know,
Bubba was being very creative yesterday. He also rewrote a song.
I shared some lyrics with Greg.
He was taking a song that we thought that would be impossible to turn and make it acceptable. But I had to say it. He did it.
Well, look, I hate to say it. It's these kinds of things. What do songwriters always tell you? They write their best songs what? Through difficult
times,
right? Yeah. So it does. Like, I think it's back to what you said. I think it is a coping mechanism that if you're someone who writes stuff or you're someone who does comedy, I think difficulty. Because think about what do you always hear about some of the funniest people that we've ever heard? Man, they struggled.
They do. Yeah.
They had tough lives.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's difficult. Look, yeah, and I've said it before. It also works spiritually. Doggone it. I wish difficulty didn't do as much as it does, but it does. It does a lot.
Yeah. Well, we've heard that quoted from football coaches here the last few weeks. Oh, you know, good times create soft people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sadly, hard times create good people.
Yeah. Well,
tough people.
Go back and look at God's people. Yeah. They struggled, and they turned to him and just begged that he would forgive them, and they wanted to be right with him. He'd bless them. Then they'd take the blessing, start taking advantage of him, forget who he was.
It's just a sock.
And then he'd have to take it away and bring them back to him again.
You know, and you see this, too, in physics. Like, you know, when you have a car crash, and, you know, the logic, you think, well, we need a bigger, stronger frame to withstand the crash.
That's good.
But that energy has to be bled off.
That's so good.
And the crumple zone in the car will do that and can very much save your life, where you think, wait a minute, you're making the car so it tears up?
Yeah.
But that energy has to bleed off. If not, guess what? It goes right to your brain.
Right.
And that will bleed it off, and it's not good for you. You know, we've talked about, places in the world that are pressure cookers, you know, the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
We've said it jokingly, but – you know, if they had a good softball lead to kind of burn some of that energy off before it builds up.
Yeah.
And it all is kind of the same thing, just different forms.
Yeah, talking about the Middle East, and like I said, I've got some friends that are there now, and Sherry is going to get a chance to go back this summer. And the first time that Sherry and I went, we didn't know that much about it, and we were trying to talk about, you know, and this is what we were told. We will never tell you it's safe to go. Is that what you're waiting on?
Yes.
So that will never happen. People go anyway, but you're never going to be given the, hey, it looks great over there.
Yeah.
Because something could break out while you're there. There's no. If you go, you take on an understanding, to your point, that there's always turmoil there.
Yeah.
There's degrees of turmoil, but there's never none.
I got a couple other cool things to tell you about. We'll come back to.
16 minutes past 866. We Be Big is our number. You got another edition of the Rick and Bubba Show. Thanks for being here.
Rick and Bubba. Rick and Bubba.
Bubba got an email here. Mona says the jets that Bubba is speaking of most likely are part of the 187th Fighter Wing at Danley Field in Montgomery. So I'm not saying that she says likely. So
yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar with how all of that is arranged now.
Yeah.
But I know there's several airfields there in Montgomery. So
right,
and I know we have a fighter group based there.
Yeah,
but I didn't know what their arrangement is.
Where did we fly out that time we were with Denver?
Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think they've put Maxwell and Gunner together, even though they're not physically together now, from what I understand. Did you know, this was kind of interesting because I was trying to research to find out where they were based out of, and that Maxwell Air Force Base actually used to host a Wright Brothers flying school. Mm-hmm. It was one of their first schools they put about teaching people flying.
Is that something
you've
just thrown in?
No, that's real. That's serious business.
Because I admit,
Straight up,
man.
Straight up, serious business.
That sounds like one of those down to hardware store guys out there and rocking chairs. Somebody added.
It's documented.
Yeah, okay.
And how about when I was in D.C., I saw their first plane, and Rick Burgess.
I know.
I'm going to tell you, they were desperate to get in the air to climb into that thing. And go into a headwind, you know it.
Well, you know what I was thinking about is how.
What about Orville?
How in our industry, how youngsters will look at the way that that we used to archive and record things,
mm-hmm.
how you do it now.
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine them looking at that going, good gracious, what in the world? That was a long way home. I mean, I want you to think about the picture. Of course, he would know it because that would be, you'd have to know it.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought it was amazing to watch Greg go in there and learn how to edit, you know, and the way we edit now. Can you imagine, Greg, what if you just showed up here and it was reel to reels and you looked over there and there was tape? And it was a cut. The plane to cut it.
Razor blades everywhere.
Cutting blocks.
Yeah, and tape. I mean, you talk about a complicated setup. If you was going to edit something, I mean,
what if every edit you did, you had to cut tape, it,
unbelievable,
and then trim
that's
the
why
edges.
I worked for the power company during that time. I was waiting to advance a little bit.
Right. Yeah. It was and then there was kind of a period of time, and Bubba figured it out with the VHS tapes, which we've talked about before. There was a time when this used to be standard in the studio. Oh, yeah. You had to have one of these, in production and in here.
Yep.
You had to have it. And you know how we take phone calls, Hams, because there was no delay? We would go into the break telling you we was going to do phone calls,
record
them.
And then play them back.
My gracious.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary.
It's all true.
A documentary on Sound City, the recording studio, and they were talking about how cutting tape and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And now you got Pro Tools. You just go in there and fix.
Let me show you one other thing. Like, on the reel to reel, they used to have a block.
That's where
exactly
you could
cut.
We use right
there. Yeah, I think it's probably on the top right there.
It used to be mounted like right here.
Yeah, right.
You're right.
I bet you set it up on the top, Bubba.
Out, put it in there and do your cut.
Yeah. You see on the top of that gray? I bet you can set it up top there. You just can't see it here.
Yeah. The angle.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But, Rick, there's a whole.
I so remember one of those.
There's a whole big room at the Smithsonian dedicated to the Wright brothers.
Really?
And I've seen a documentary on them before. It's a very complicated story. What all happened to them after they got this going,
mm-hmm.
and the patents and the legal
mm-hmm.
mumbo jumbo that they went through,
mm-hmm.
and all of that did not go their way, by the way, and cost them big time.
Oh yeah,
big time.
Yeah.
And then of course they like to kill themselves several times doing demonstration flights with a gust of wind come and turn them upside down.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, when you decide decide to be the human beings that don't just say I think we can fly, you go I'm going to pull it off and let's see what we can do. I mean, you talk about something that on the downside that says this may not work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing to
look.
You
was,
go, I hope this works.
It was a big deal to step on the moon because. People have looked at the moon since Adam and Eve has been here.
We choose to go to the moon.
And they've always wondered. And to do that was a big deal. But I'm going to tell you, to get off the ground, that first step the Wright brothers did was big. That was a big step.
I see your eyes watering.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm just fired up about it.
And Greg was wanting to talk about the moon. We didn't really go. And I was hoping he didn't interrupt
you. But think about this. As long as human history has been.
Right.
We went from Kitty Hawk flying in that thing
to
landing Neil Armstrong on the moon in a very short period of time.
And think about how little we've done since, as far as exploration.
Thanks, Rick.
See, Bubba, on the right stuff, when Ed Harris playing John Glenn, when he gives a speech about how far they've come, when Wilbur and Overwright flipping a coin saying who's going to be first all that.
Yeah.
I bet you'd
look at Greg weighing in.
Yeah.
Look at Greg weighing in.
I bet Bubba's all about
There's
that.
A tissue box right beside you if you need
Let me tell you something. There's two things I've seen that soften Greg. Grandkids and tornadoes.
Yeah.
Well,
Rick,
tornado will soften.
Rick, what I loved at the Smithsonian, they had these pictures, and they would tell you the story behind it. And it was early photography, but they were like real pictures. And they would be like in Europe in a parade field, and it'd be a big pile of wood and cloth in the middle of the field. And they would go, well, this demonstration of the Wright brothers flying machine did not go well.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so many bones broke. And it's like, good night.
I'm almost certain. I may be wrong. I'm almost certain. I think we just saw Greg show Bubba compassion.
I did. Yeah, I think so.
I just asked if he remembers
the speech. A little empathy there.
Take a picture.
I just knew that he would know the speech from the movie.
All right, so let me ask y'all this question. This is a long movie, but
I guess the bottom line on all of it was I'm not up on the Wright brothers like I need to be. When we went up there and all that, and then I read that they had their flying school at Maxwell. I thought that was cool.
Mm. So let me – this is very –
really teary-eyed right now.
I'm about to do a Helmsy thing. This is right out of Helmsy, okay?
Wow.
But I enjoy it. By the way, this morning's question I liked. Mm-hmm. About the athlete.
I have no answer for it.
Yeah, I really like that. And I did have an answer. All right, so I'm going to go back to this, but this is a very Helmsy-like thing I'm about to do.
Oh, goodness.
You could be one of two things. Okay? you are part of the team with the Wright brothers, meaning you're going to be one of the people to get on one of these,
mm-hmm.
okay, and
mm-hmm.
see if we can fly.
It's set history.
Or you're sitting there right now in a gown, and this doctor says, I think I can fix your heart. You're going to be the first one we're going to try.
Oh, wow.
So would you like to be the first person?
No, wait, am I the doctor or the patient?
You're the patient. Oh, would you like to be the first person to have open heart surgery performed on you, or the first person to get in one of the Wright brothers things and say, I think it'll fly?
I'm going Wright brothers for 200.
Absolutely. Because look, I'm closing my eyes.
Who is the Wright brothers?
Yeah. You know, Rick, though,
had to be that first patient.
Yeah. I was surprised when you said you were going to do a Helmsley thing. I thought you were going to leave and get a funny haircut.
that's him having to let that pressure off somewhere.
That's right. Why I'm letting it go.
Yeah,
he needed that.
Well, when he was compassionate earlier in the segment. Now he's going back to himself.
He needed it.
I did.
Yeah. I had to redeem myself.
We knew somebody was in danger now that Bubba's protected.
Right. I didn't mean to quote John Glenn. I don't know why I was doing
it. Craig, that was very kind. Yeah. I mean, Bubba,
I thought Bubba saw the movie.
I saw Mercury 7. I saw the, let's see, which one was
I'm
that?
I'm talking about Glenn the right stuff.
I didn't know you were going to take to squalling.
It was the actor.
I did.
It was the actor.
I saw it, but it was a long time ago.
Bubba did. When you were standing right there, you know, right where the Wright brothers exhibit is, and you were standing there, did Betty ever pull you by the sleeve and go, we got to go, we got to move on? Did you want to stay there all day?
No, I could have stayed and read more. No doubt. But
there was a lot to do.
There was a definite pace we had to stay at right. to make everything.
But honestly, what you just described is what we talked about yesterday.
Uh-huh.
You don't go over to a dog that's hurt.
No.
I'm going to tell you, really.
I was reading about the Wright brothers, leave him alone.
Let him finish. Let him finish.
Let me tell you, the one that I was staring at that you really think, wow, is Neil Armstrong's space suit there that walked on the moon. First one, Neil, and you think, wow, it's been to the moon. That piece right there has been to the moon and back.
I just wish Neil would have talked more about it.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's Bubba.
You know, I hated his silence.
Bubba, that's just beautiful.
Did you want to break the glass case and try to get it in?
There you go.
That tissue out.
He's got a box terry wine.
It's beautiful, Bubba. It's beautiful.
I like the struggling Adderall emotion.
Fight it.
We're back 9 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm really watching an interesting development here. I think I'm pretty accurate on this. Bubba's going through, you know, a rough patch. We've talked about this, and I think Greg is the one that's kind of becoming Bubba's therapeutic.
We're playing catch. What's wrong with that?
I mean, they had
I'm
a catch.
I'm up for a catch.
He's over there telling him, you know, moving things about the space program. Yeah. In the break, I walk in, and I see Bubba playing catch with Greg, and I'm like, this is interesting.
You should have seen how it started. I witnessed it all.
Let me remind you something. Not all heroes wear capes.
That's so true. That's true. You know, Greg tending to, of all people.
And I'm going to tell you something. Usually when I see a ball being thrown around, bounced around, I immediately throw myself into that situation, and I didn't want to ruin their moment.
I
went and sat down and was like, man, this is special. I am not getting in the way of this.
It's really tough to cull yourself, and I did. I culled myself because I was like, I'm not doing this. You should have. Bubba went back to being a kid with a little kid voice. He said, will you catch with me?
Right.
and then he just threw it over to Greg, and he went, sure, buddy.
And the fact that Greg didn't say, catch? I ain't playing catch.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden, Greg kind of says, yeah, man, sure.
Right.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's –
But it was just, hey, will you play catch
The things he used to say about Bubba and I throwing the ball around.
I know.
And then I was
– Is that the first time you've ever done that? I think it's the first time you've ever done that.
What
I've never been asked before.
Let me tell you this. What Greg is seeing is, you know what, Greg?
I don't want to butt my way in.
I don't know how to say this to y'all. You said it a minute ago. It's two words that we don't associate with Greg a lot. Empathy and compassion.
Well, is there a little catch? What's wrong? No.
Adler, is this weird for you to watch?
I honestly thought it was Helms and Bubba. Yeah. Just like in my peripheral vision.
Yeah.
And I like walk in the room, I go to adjust the carpet on the floor, and I'm like, my goodness, it's Greg. What's going on?
Yeah, what's he doing?
What's so bad about you throwing him?
You know what it was?
Is that Greg holding a kitten?
I didn't know what to do. I just acted busy. I was uncomfortable.
What's happening?
Is Greg petting a kitten and giving it a name?
I thought we were doing surprise. I thought we were doing cross stitch.
No, you know what? You know, yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't be out of breath throwing a nerf ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Bubba's getting cardio.
I thought Bubba had walked, ran around the building. He's just playing catch.
Is Greg holding a lamb?
It was over, and he's like, "Hey, man, thank you for doing that.
Thanks, man."
Well, that
might be real mean. Rest of the show, make up.
No, don't, yeah. See, just don't let us do that. We're just a little surprised by it, but we.
Till the callers start.
Well, like Greg said he has empathy and he is compassionate, just not much to many people. Yeah.
That's not.
I was so surprised. I captured video for the Instagram story just because I couldn't believe what was happening.
Right.
Y'all, we're throwing a ball.
No, Greg.
No,
Greg,
we're complimenting you. Throwing ball.
We're complimenting you.
Hey, Greg.
You see that Bubba's having a rough patch, and you're being kind. It's just odd to see.
Well, now, if he'd asked me to do something I didn't want to do, it would have been different.
I mean, but what I'm saying is, we would not be surprised if you said.
I didn't even ask him to come haul wood.
I'd be like, probably not, Bubba.
Let's be honest, Bubba. Which one of these sounds more like Greg? Okay, you ready? I'm going to give you two scenarios. Here's scenario number one. Hey, Bub, I meant to ask you if I could come down to the lake this weekend. Or does this sound more like him? You know, I won't remember that time that John Glenn was talking about thinking back to the Wright brothers flipping a coin. Hey, you want to play some catch? Which one of those sounds more?
Well, I know. Yeah, it's,
look at
hey,
that.
Bub, what you doing this weekend? I tell you what you're not going to be doing. Now, what does that sound like? Huh?
Tell you where you ain't going this weekend.
Right. Now, see, that feels a little more. Yeah, the audience, an update from Bub on something sweet very moment. Interesting yesterday. What?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times when it's easy to feel disconnected from our government. I mean, it's supposed to be we the people.
Yes.
And
now more than ever.
You see Congress on TV, and, you know, you're like, they don't care. They don't know us. Right. They don't do what we do. They don't live the life we live.
No.
And it's a complete disconnect.
Yep.
Well, yesterday, we played a clip of Senator Tommy Tuberville, Coach Senator Tuberville, and he was taking some of our leaders of our military to task about what they were doing and the way they were responding to Congress,
sure
who is ultimately responsible. And a lot of you, like me, were very impressed, and you sent emails about it. Well, I forwarded those on to the senator's staff yesterday. Well, I got an email this morning back from the staff that said, Bubba, we were just blown away by some of those emails. The senator was blown away by them. As a matter of fact, he had to go back and debate some of those issues that you heard him talking about yesterday with the military. And he took those emails and read them on the Senate floor yesterday in the debate. So some of you that are listening and you think, well, I don't matter. I'm just one person. I'm totally disconnected from what's going on in D.C. Just know that your email made it to Senator Tuberville, and he used it in his argument yesterday. He shared your stories with the Congress on the congressional record about things you felt important that related to that topic, and he used it in the argument. Now, it may not do any good because he's not a dictator.
Right.
Okay.
And we don't want dictators.
There's 49 other senators that have to get to chime in on things. But just know that your voice was heard yesterday. And I thought that was real cool.
Yeah, stop, Greg. All right, I saw his face. He was about to ruin a special.
No.
Thank you for doing that.
No, not today. But that because we don't have any documentation of that, but it is true because we got it from the source. But
we will find it later today.
Yeah,
his staff is going to forward it.
Are they really? Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. And maybe tomorrow we can play.
Does he say Bill Bubba Bussy said?
No.
No, it wasn't me saying it. It was our listeners that heard what he said and agreed with what he said and had stories to back that up. And they appreciate him taking a stand. Look, not even
Coop
all
from Robertsdale said.
Hey, Greg, get out of this hour before you change.
Three minutes.
Go get coffee.
3 minutes.
Come back top of the hour. You can wear somebody out.
Freddie from Nashville.
See what's happened? What you're saying?
David from Louisville, Mississippi.
Yeah, we got to bleed it off somehow.
Penny Miller said, Mary Bird from Ocean Springs, Mississippi.
Philip Webb.
I got one here from David from Louisville.
Philip Webb from Pratt.
And he also invited us to a mud run.
I have 11.
Hey, we the people.
That's Jason Benefield from Jacksonville, Alabama.
You're I had running to work a list of we the people.
I had to pick one from those. All right, so the.
I just spit.
Yeah, okay. But you're right.
Talman, yeah. What's his name?
Hi, Murphy.
Combo. Oh, wait a minute. Sure. There's some guy in here that goes by Box that didn't want me supporting the NFL. Let me put it
that way. Yeah. Let's not do that.
He's punishing himself. Right. There's one guy that if we even remotely mention the NFL, he sends us an email every single time. Right. Can't believe y'all support that. Okay. I mean, buddy, we just gave a score.
Yeah. I'm not buying a ticket.
You know, you just got to pick your battles.
I know.
Right. There's some hills I'm just not going to die on.
We were just updating the playoffs. It's all right. Top of the hour.
Hero of the hour, Greg Bird.
That's right. More of the Rick and Bubba Show coming your way right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
From our Bible study walk through the Revelation. Yesterday we went through verses 1 through 8 of Revelation 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I will quote Bachman Turner Overdrive, though, on this, and it was kind of the theme of yesterday's Bible study. You ain't seen nothing yet. But anyway, so catch that. It's available in our archives. Today on YouTube and on our podcast archives. So some of the absurdity right now, and again, we are empathetic and do have compassion for anyone who is struggling with mental illness. And there was a time when people who had gender dysphoria, they needed compassion, they needed help, and it was a small, small percentage of our society. But now it has become mod or just something I think I'd like to do to identify as a gender other than your biological gender. Now, if you so choose to do that and you can say this is what I do in my private life and all that, you certainly can. But the problem we have is when we start pretending things that just aren't so. We can't seem to have common sense involving dressing rooms and involving bathrooms and publicly. I'm not talking about privately. So anyway, another one is this notion that men and women are just interchangeable. There's no real difference in the two. And when it comes to athletics, the differences are substantial. So first of all, we're going to see a 60 Minutes trailer kind of talking about this new trend involving children choosing their own gender. Of course, as all of you have pointed out, when we were children, we wanted to be all kinds of things like superheroes and cowboys and and firemen. And, you know, sometimes you can grow up and do that. But as a kid, I remember dressing as these things, but it didn't make me one. And then the
cowboy and Indian thing was big.
Yeah, it was big. And then when you get to our second video, you're going to see a male power lifter making the point about sports in Canada in a really, really cool way. But let's start with a 60 Minutes trailer first. Here we go.
We didn't assign a gender at birth.
I'm letting this little person be who they want to be.
It is an experiment. What they're doing is unprecedented.
On 60 Minutes.
You can't tell what your gender is by looking at your body.
What are some of the biggest challenges?
Strangers in the street have had quite a strong response. Why are you so obsessed? Why do you need to know?
We're not trying to eliminate gender. It's really helping kids find their own path to it.
Sunday on 9 and 9 Now.
I don't even know what that is, but 60 Minutes. Now, I want y'all to hear what these parents are saying. How does anybody not go, ooh, I don't know about that? Yeah. That doesn't sound like we're raising mentally strong.
Can you believe that?
There's no setup.
You can't
for
tell your gender by looking at your body.
It seems like that we're actually.
That's
the definition.
This really feels like mental and emotional child abuse.
It is.
How does anybody not see the dangers of this? How can anybody not see that? And I'm not talking about the percentage of people that through, you know, growing up struggle with this. That has been around a long time. It's not a large number of people, and they need compassion and they need help. But this thing of it's mod and trendy, something this serious should never be mod and trendy.
No, and what you've got is a scary time because the professionals that are in charge of labeling someone as having mental issues, they're scared to death because this gets a pass. So if they label someone that, then now they are going to be criticized or they could be canceled because they're you know what I'm saying? They're mm-hmm. going, okay, you have a mental disability. What do you mean? What do you mean I have mental yeah. disability? No, I don't.
You can't say that's a
you know, so you get, there are certain topics that are off limits, and this is one of them. Yeah. Because if you had someone else doing something like this in a different situation to their child, they would quickly be having yeah. a visit from
right.
DHR or yeah. something.
No, you're right. And
I mean,
because
they
would.
Because
you can't touch it.
Right, but with this, you got to be careful because, oh, hey, watch out. Now, what do you mean? Why are you signaling out them?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and well, before you know it, you've lost your job. Because this has been the chosen, you can't touch this topic.
Right, and you see the Nashville shooter, and there were others before the Nashville shooter, not one that had a manifesto like this, but you're seeing the where this ends up. I mean, we all sort of thought that everybody would say what this person did was evil, wicked, and there's no excuse for it. But you're seeing that in some camps, but there's other camps saying, well, you know, this is what happens when parents don't go along with it. And, mm-hmm. and hey, this is what happens. And you know, transgender vengeance. And we're like, what? Is there anybody that – we're not okay with this, mm-hmm. are we? And, well, I mean, hey, at Christian school kind of had that coming
mm-hmm.
Because of their biblical stance. Now, keep in mind, I promise you, and they would have a more extreme stance on this. I promise you, if the shooter had gone onto a school that was run by Muslims and had killed a bunch of Muslim children and Muslim teachers and principals, it would be a completely different response. You have to see, and it was part of the Bible study yesterday, everything is going to move toward, and you see it happening, these people that have a biblical worldview, meaning they believe in a triune God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. They believe in the great I Am. They believe in Yahweh. And they believe that His Son Jesus redeemed the world and no one else did. And there's certain commandments that they follow from the God they say created us. These people are a problem. And they need to be removed from our society, mm-hmm. and we're not there yet. But just notice you got to look for, as Jesus said, look for the birth pains.
But look how far it's come.
Look how far there you go.
20 years.
There you go.
In 30 years we've been doing the show. Look yep. how far it's
look
come.
How far it's come. Yep. All right, the next one is the notion that men and women physically are no different. And so if a man wants to be a woman, he should be able to compete in female sports. If a woman wants to be a man, she should be able to compete in male sports. You're not going to see near as much trouble there. But a male competing against women already a problem. And so there's a male power lifter, because here's how Canada sees all this. This is in Canada. Canada right now says that that the rules are that anybody who self-identifies as a woman can compete in the female category of weightlifting. Okay. So
there's no testosterone limit,
nothing.
Or any of that.
If you identify as a woman,
you're in.
So there's a biological man who says, if that's the rules, I'm going to identify as a woman. I'm going to walk out there, go ahead and put on the weights, the female world record. I'm going to come walk into a tournament. I'm going to break it in one lift. And he does. Watch this.
And the and what makes this even more beautiful is that this guy, his name is A.V. Silverberg. He is a team. He's a powerlifting coach, Canada's team powerlifting coach, and he's going to go break the record that is held by a biological man. So Ann Anders is a man that identifies as a woman who entered this competition and now holds the record.
Of course,
it's 270 pounds, and so Avi, another man, is going to come in and say, "Hey, buddy, that's great. You're beating all these women.
Right.
Here's a man."
So he's making 2 points.
Yes. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. And what I love right here is on the screen, there's Mr. A.V. Silverberg in the women's bench
that
category.
That is hilarious.
And it says it on
and
the screen.
And all you got to do is say, identify.
That's correct. It.
Yeah.
In Canada. In Canada.
Yep. So he's going to – it actually has no audio. I don't know why not. Sorry about that. But he's about to throw up over 270 pounds to defeat Ann – I'm doing air quotes here. Anders is women's, I'm doing air quotes again, bench record.
Right.
And this is just phenomenal, guys. So he throws it down, throws it back up, racks the weights.
Pretty easy.
Stands up and walks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with a beard. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep in mind that 270 pounds for a man is nothing.
And guess who watched front row right here? There's Ann Anders. Watching his her record be broken.
So a biological man comes in, sets the female world record, but in the men's division he would have not even been mentioned.
Right.
And so this guy walks in and says, I'll break that world record in seconds and then walk off.
Yep. It was a Heroes Classic.
Yep. So that's how
for everybody except women.
Right.
How hard did that woman have to work to get to that record?
Right. A biological.
He just woke up, didn't do anything.
Nah. Yeah. And just walked in there and said.
Country strong.
So he's showing the difference. It's
unreal.
That has nothing to do with the quality.
No.
But it has a lot to do with strength.
Yeah.
It has a lot to do with physical strength.
Science. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
science.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
We continue. Let's go to Louisiana. We got John standing by. John, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Guys, Greg said y'all didn't cover the Mike Tyson video this week. He interviewed this, I guess he's kind of a celebrity. His name's Hezbollah. I really don't know anything about him. All I know is he's on social media all the time, and he's got some kind of condition where he's much smaller than, you know, a normal person, and Mike Tyson doesn't really – something doesn't click. So it's worth watching. Speedy might melt down watching it, but anyway.
This is the guy that
Hezbollah.
Yes,
he's a grown man, but he's tiny. And Mike Tyson thinks he's a kid, so he picks him up and snuggles him like a little tiny baby boy.
Oh, no.
That's a 21-year-old man that you're holding Mike.
Oh my!
Quite the follow on social media.
So is this Mike Tyson's social media?
It's Mike Tyson's podcast.
Hey, come over here! I take the little man. I punch him one time. Come over here! I'm not boxing a kid.
I like those shoes Tyson's got.
Yeah. There's others his size that he'll fight with, and he punches everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's unbelievable.
Is the little guy, is he saying, I have a driver's license, quit kissing me?
Yes.
I can legally drink.
Please stop. Put me down.
I can buy you a beer, Mike. Quit kissing my ear.
That's funny.
Terry's tired of me showing her videos of him.
You guys will appreciate this because of our humor and how we treat each other here. There's a couple of the smaller guys on our team, and the bigger guys call them Hezbollah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that's enough, Hezbollah.
Let me ask you
come
something.
Come over here, Hezbollah.
I've got a question out of ignorance. It sounds like you're saying the terrorist group.
It does. Right. It really does.
Am I missing something?
That's the part of the world he's from, too. Okay. There you go. There he is, right there.
There he is.
So that's a 21-year-old man?
That's a 21-year-old man.
If I start showing you videos in the break, you will spend the whole break watching.
I've seen some of them. I recognize that face now. I thought they were children, too. There's more than one.
Yes, that's what I was saying. They'll get there and they'll
come on.
Tim, 30 seconds.
I thought he was going to give me an adorable blanket if I made a donation. I didn't know who that was.
Oh, my gosh, Bubba.
That's who I thought it was.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't mean nothing bad by that.
I don't know where to go.
I don't mean that's nothing bad.
It's not?
Oh, my goodness.
They favor each other.
They do. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that, Bubba.
Wish
they
I
do.
Here. Wish yeah. I wasn't here.
Okay. We talked about this last hour, but we now have an example of it. So Bubba told all of you last hour that yesterday we played Senator Tommy Tuberville. And what he is taking on, and a lot of you in America are glad he's taking this on, no matter where you live. Like he said yesterday, I'm the people of Alabama sent me here, but I'm also here to protect all the taxpayers all over the country. The 320, million of you. And so what he was saying is, as usual, the left is, they're not sticking to what the topic is. He said, they're telling us that if we don't let taxpayers fund abortion on demand with our military, we're not ready to take on our enemies. And he says, I'm having a hard time drawing the line to that. And then they say that these women won't have access to abortion. He says, that's not true. That's not the topic either. The topic is, should people who pay taxes that oppose abortion on demand, should they be funding this, or not? And I say no. And we've never done this. And the military has had abortions in the past for incest, for rape, or for the mother's life being in danger. But now we're being asked by the left to tell taxpayers that they need to pay for abortion on demand, even so they can so the military can travel to states that now still allow abortion on demand. And the taxpayers need to pick up that bill. And if they don't, then we're not ready to face our enemies.
Our countries, Rick, in forward deployed places that don't allow it.
Right. And
I mean, think about the bill you're talking about.
So then Bubba said that he sent some of your emails to the senator's office, and he read one of them yesterday on the floor.
Yeah.
During the debate. So we have that. And this was an emailer that came from the show yesterday, one of you. And it got to him, and he is actually in the debate using it, and we've got that clip for you. So here it is.
This morning, I received an email from a soldier's mom in Alabama. She said her son has had to pay thousands of dollars out of his own pocket to buy uniforms and bed sheets. She said it is absurd to force taxpayers to pay for travel for abortions while our troops are paying out of pocket for their uniforms. She's right. She's exactly right. And that's what this is all about. Earlier today, Senator Schumer said this is about women making their own choices. That's not true. That is exactly not true. This is about taxpayer funded. That's what we're talking about. We have strict limits on taxpayer funding for abortion in this country. That's gone through this building right here. These have been bipartisan consensus for 40 years. Yet all of a sudden, Democrats are saying military can't win wars without expanding abortion. It doesn't make sense.
And there it is. So it's
a really good 10-minute segment. If you have time, pull that up and watch it today.
Yeah.
It is really, really good. Very proud of the senator.
Yeah, and a lot of you, to tell you in our state how sometimes things can be bipartisan, even Alabama fans like what he's saying.
Yeah.
And if some of you think that wasn't a big thing to overcome, trust me. Trust me, it's huge. It shows how important it is that sometimes Americans all come together. All right, so we also have on the much lighter side, Video 3. You know, we love Babylon Bee. I mean, we cannot get enough. I sent this to y'all. Were we on vacation when I sent that to y'all? How many Babylon Bee headlines actually turned out to come true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were kidding around, and now the very same headline, and they're all listed on the list, actually happened when they were joking, okay? And how many things that they hit. And I sent y'all that list.
I know in the history of this show, our wacky world's way on back. Now they're like hard news, like straight up.
This is
going on.
Yeah. So if y'all haven't seen that, I think Babylon Bee put it out. But it's this is, you know, now Bubba, they've gotten into the skit world, and you know we love a good skit. So now, there's 100 Babylon Bee joke stories that came true. 100.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
So here we go. Here is a skit. Now this is about someone coming here from Cuba. And a socialist trying to talk to them about how wonderful socialism is. Is that what this is?
Yeah, a college freshman is explaining socialism to a Cuban who escaped on a raft.
Okay. So here we go.
Hey, I'm Brett. He, him.
Hola.
Hola? Yeah, that's cultural appropriation. That ain't it, Chief.
Really? Isn't Chief cultural appropriation too? And secondly, I'm from Cuba.
That's awesome. I love your sandwiches. You know, it is pretty sad that those Cubans don't really appreciate the great social programs they've got. Am I right, Chief? I mean, man, person, Cuba person.
Great social programs? What are you talking about?
Well, you know, like take healthcare, for instance.
Yes, we had healthcare, but it mostly consists of us rubbing dirt in our wounds. But my grandmother was able to build this pretty cool wheelchair out of an old washing machine.
You must be mistaken. I learned all about Cuba's excellent social programs in college.
Is that right? How long have you been in college?
Half a semester. So yeah, I'm pretty much an expert on socialism. In fact, I'm inviting people to the meeting my group is having. Socialists undermining capitalist knowledge.
Ay, ay, ay.
Tell me what else you've learned in college about my country, Mr. Expert.
Bernie Sanders taught me that Cuba has great literacy programs.
Yeah, we used to have to write, "I will obey Fidel Castro," 100 times every morning.
Also, Bernie taught me that the poor rose up and they stole the means of production from the ugly rich people. That sounds amazing.
We didn't own anything with regards to production. Ah, but what we did have, we had a 20-year-old anemic donkey named Gus. I do miss Gus, but he was delicious.
Okay, by the way, how did you end up in this dystopian capitalist country anyway? We've got it really rough here.
Hey, did you order the orange mocha frappuccino?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Okay.
No tip.
I hate when they look at you like they expect a tip.
Anyway, don't miss that he's wearing a Che Guevara shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's
it. Goes on for another minute or so. We can watch the rest or whatever you
want. That's good. That's good. Plenty.
But you get the idea.
Yeah. Well, and
drink delivered to him in the park.
But let's go back. Let's go back to that again. That there's too much of that.
Yeah.
That's not even joking. I mean, that you do see the absurdity of that. How absurd some of the things they're being taught in these colleges.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's you like I, Rick, know people who have lived there, lived it, and came over here, like the gentleman in this skit.
Yes.
And trust me, it ain't what the flyers say it is.
All right, so let's look at the president.
Oh,
you know, speaking
Presidente.
Of speaking of birth pangs. let's look at the president now. This thing where he keeps trying to convince us that nothing's wrong. I'm fine. What are y'all talking about? I'm fine. So he's going to tell us that he's going to apologize for a slight cold. Now, Adler, help me, because I've seen this once, or Speedy, whoever sent it. Have we replaced his voice with somebody else's? It doesn't even sound like
him. He's definitely congested.
Like, is this like yesterday? Is this one of those fakes? No. I mean, his voice has changed so much, you're almost like, that's not him. I mean, so
what's weird is the comment he wraps it up with.
Yeah, so listen to this.
May not be.
Hello, everyone. Let me start by apologizing for the slight cold I have. That's the only thing that's happening to me these days.
What does that even mean? This is the only thing that's happening to me these days.
Wow, that's worse than I thought.
Yeah, listen to
his eyes look good.
Wow, let me clear my throat.
Always brought our attention to those eyes.
Yeah. Rick, could he have been sitting behind
Hello,
you?
Hello, everyone. Let me start by apologizing for the slight cold I have. That's the only thing that's happening to me these days.
Slight,
and the only thing happening to you these days. I think he sat behind me at a restaurant.
Yeah, I know you probably would have recognized Secret Service and stuff there at the restaurant, Rick. But he could have been behind you.
Yeah,
and Jill might have ordered.
But
for
what's
him.
This comment? This is the only thing happening to me these days. This is that y'all stop saying that I'm losing my cognitive skills.
And that's kind of odd. I didn't really follow what he was trying to say.
I guess
there.
He's saying, "Hey, I'm sick a lot."
Yeah,
but
or is he trying to say you? Is he trying to say, I know y'all think I'm sick?
That's what
a lot,
he's trying to say.
But I'm really not. But this is just one of the rare occasions.
That's it,
Bubba.
That's all, slight cold.
Yeah. Yeah. He's basically saying, I got a slight cold. That's all I got. Yeah. And all this other stuff y'all keep saying about me.
His voice didn't match
the
way he sounds.
Now
it sounded more like when he was younger.
How about this? We shouldn't have to work this hard to try to figure out what he's saying is like we have to do.
Yeah.
You know, since you're probably the most important communicator in the world.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's
listening. But we're having to do that a lot. We're having to figure out what he means. And well, that voice is—I mean, he's
yeah.
Good night.
For a minute, I thought it was George.
This is George.
George. Speaking of politics, I saw a little bit of this last night, folks. I'm just going to tell you, the 2024 GOP presidential nominee preference among Republican primary voters. Have y'all seen these numbers today?
Yep.
Donald Trump, 54%. The next person close to him is DeSantis, and he's only at 24. Donald Trump.
Trump is actually picking up numbers in all groups except white men with college educations.
Really?
Yes.
I would have thought it would have been back to the suburban housewives.
DeSantis is a little stronger in that group.
Okay.
According to those numbers, that story, if you believe it.
So Trump is picking up numbers. and 54%.
Rick is your favorite president. I mean,
yeah, right. And
everybody's favorite president. Everybody.
But here's the concern, and I've said this on the air before. I do think we just have to. I talked to a person who was staunch Trump. Staunch. I mean, he and I even got in disagreement sometimes. I wasn't even allowed to question Trump on anything. This kind of guy, and who I like. I have great respect for him. He said, literally looked at me and said, "Listen, this tree goes. I just know if I can do it again." He said, "I said, do you have Trump fatigue?" He said, "I do." And I appreciate what he did. I was all about it. He said, I don't know that I can go through that again. I don't know that I had the energy.
Exhausting.
I don't have it. He's an exhausting friend.
Yeah.
You know, and I even saw, of all people, Mark Levin, of all people.
What'd he say?
Well, this was when Trump was doing some impression of Ron DeSantis, and he was doing one of his, DeSantis. And Mark Levin, who has defended Trump staunchly and communicates the Constitution and why Trump was good as anybody. You remember how many times he got up there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He said, we don't need this. That's all he said.
He's very outspoken about them attacking each other.
Levin's telling him, don't do this. Mm-hmm. We don't need you attacking DeSantis.
No.
And for Mark Levin to say that, as much as he supported Trump?
Yeah.
Or
vice versa. Yeah, I would say both.
Yeah, I agree. But Trump. The problem is he's not coachable, and that's what makes him exhausting.
No, no.
Yeah, but I think I really do think it is the statement. Sometimes you just got to let things finish.
And I think
that because what I think would be terrible for this country, and he's got the ego to do it. If he doesn't get the nomination,
try to go third.
He's going to go third party, and the Trumpites are going to go with him. The Democrats are going to stay in power.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure the Democrats would love that.
Yeah, oh, they would. And
they will be Trump's biggest supporter at that point.
You almost have to tell DeSantis you got to wait one more round. Of course, you know, we have to remember, and I understand that might have been stolen and all that, but it does feel odd to go with someone that didn't win last time.
Right.
But anyway.
He got more votes this time than he did last time when he won.
Yeah, we'll be back. Bubba, Rick and Bubba. All right, so I see a guy, anytime there's somebody on hold, and I've got some other things we can cover, but and we'll see where this goes, but anytime you see question from his wife,
yeah,
you know, you think about, because we've all been married a long time here, if you combined all of our years of marriage, yeah. I mean, there, yeah. We're like a think tank of marriage. So let's go to Ben in Georgia.
Well,
Ben,
over 100 years.
Yeah, Ben, yeah. How can we, the veterans of marriage, help you?
Well, guys, you know, I'm kind of down this morning. Had a good day at work yesterday. Came home. My wife cooked me, you know, some good supper and put the kids to bed.
Yeah.
Went to bed and, you know, I had to knew something was coming. But anyhow, she popped the question about the cat. She's thinking about maybe time to get the cat neutered.
Okay.
And, I think you might know what I'm talking about when I say the cat.
Oh,
okay. Oh, okay. You're saying, that's an analogy for she thinks it's time for you guys to be done as far as children, and she wants Tomcat.
Yeah, we got it.
She wants the stallion to become a gelding.
That's right. That's right. I'm kind of down in the dumps this morning, guys. So I need a little encouragement.
Wait till you've had it done.
Yeah. I don't know that you're going to find – you know, here, how many geldings do we have? One, two?
Okay. I'm 40.
There's two in here. Yeah. No, not nuts. I'm just counting the guys here. So, Bubba, Greg, me, Adler, we've never been down this road. So, there's not a lot of help coming from us here.
No.
I
can't tell you anything to encourage you.
It's a lonely road, I'll tell you that.
I will say this, make sure this is what y'all want to do, because I hear, I mean, I've had these, I think we've got
close friends here of the show. I didn't know if we should call that out.
Let me tell you, Michael Adler told a story.
Okay. Yeah.
Snip, snap.
Yeah.
Snip,
so
snap.
Linda, on this show, so Linda Adler wishes Michael wasn't so open about it. Yeah. Okay. He tells everybody.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
So what I was, so you have it done, and then you're asked a year or so later, hey, let's get a reversal.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want that to happen. You don't want that to happen. And matter of fact, that was actually a question in our house. It never got serious, but there was a question. After I was sniffed about a year later, man, it's like, should we talk about this again? I'm like, no, done. Done and done.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. Once.
That to me is the obvious question.
My mind would allow it to be done. See.
Well,
the procedure itself is not bad.
Right.
Okay, I will say that. It's not bad. You're going to lose a weekend. Do it on a March Madness weekend or the Masters weekend or a big sports weekend, college football opening weekend, something like that. Listen to the doctors. Make sure you get frozen peas, and it's not a bad deal.
I guess I'm a little different because I was out during that time. If you'll remember, I had
a hernia
that in the belly button, and I had two doctors. One came in and did that, and while I was out, the other came in and did the other. Yeah. So I had to talk
to the doctor and nurse why it was going on.
Yeah, see, I was and out, that so was I don't know what happened. I kind of got lucky that one.
Rick, I feel like if I had agreed to that and was all in and went, made the appointment, that on my way there I might black out, and then I wake up and I'm in Gulf Shores.
Right.
You know, and I just fled.
Right, yeah.
You know, I don't know if my body would let me.
It's an instinct. Yeah.
Yeah, I might be fight or flight.
Fight or flight.
I don't know that I could.
They did give me a Valium or something just to kind of relax me. But it's one of those things where, let's just use this because they're using like a stitch.
And careful, buddy.
This is the conversation.
We don't need it.
So they're stitching it up after the procedure. Nurse is right there. He's asking her, so what'd y'all talk about on the show today? What'd y'all do?
Yeah.
Did y'all have fun?
Yeah.
So, hey, you what about to get? And I'm sitting there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Ben, have you ever?
It's hard to have this conversation right now. I'm in stirrups. I'm a man.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Ben, have you ever listened to the Rick and Bubba bit, She Commenced to Shaving?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, you realize that's
I just can't think about it, though.
Well,
sir, Runaway. Runaway.
Yeah, it was never a serious discussion. Sherry and I just had a different game plan, but. I remember one time it just not being brought up, like Sherry even thought that was even something to do. That was never brought up. But it was brought up with some of our friends, and Sherry said, well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, would anybody turn Secretariat into a gelding?
Right.
And she said, no. I said, well, that's my answer.
Yep.
You know, and so
wouldn't do it.
No, I mean, that don't even seem right. You know, so anyway, Ben, just –
I'm afraid even in the doctor's office, I might fight and run out of there.
What I would do if I was Ben is I would use Helmsy's deal and others and the Adler family's story, not Chris, but his dad. Chris has two brothers that are a result of a reversal.
Yep.
What I would say is I'd tell those two stories, and I would say this is not a decision we should make emotionally or quickly.
Right.
And so let's give it some time.
Yep. Yeah. Let's make it over like 7-8 years.
Right. You know, let's see if we can get you to menopause and I never have to go.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, did he say how old he is?
He said he's in his 40s. 40s, okay.
Then that plan would work.
Nature's going to take care of it eventually.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, there are other ways, guys. I mean, come on.
Says the guy who just had another baby.
Yeah.
Right. So it's an important decision. And
I think our decision was based off Amanda going, hey, look,
right.
I've had three kids.
Right.
I've had, totally you know, understand. You're taking this one.
That was all our discussion is after the third one. We were like, okay, and that's it. And it did hurt later when the doctor said she couldn't have any more. You know, it hurt because I was like, wow, I could have. That's fine.
But
probably jumped out a little quick. But
that's my point for Ben.
Yeah.
There's another example.
But I tried to take advantage of that knowing it needed to be done, knowing I had surgery and the doctor said, we can handle this and you be out.
Oh, I see what you did. You had to have surgery down there, and so you might as well
take care
of it.
That's smart.
Yeah, let's knock out. I see what you're saying completely.
Yeah. And life can be quite cruel because, remember, I successfully got around that, and then had some other issue happen down below, and ended up having to have something done. Not that, but right. a similar procedure that was actually worse than that.
Yeah.
And that was a blue day.
Yeah,
I will say this though.
Blue Monday.
Can I tell you this?
Blue day.
Blue.
But I will say
won't
this.
You see things my way.
What I had to have done, at least it called for a full blown. We're putting you under surgery.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This thing that my friends have described to me, not your experience, but your experience, Helmsley. I've had friends. Mm-hmm. Well, she commenced to shaving that bit. Brad Ryan and many other friends.
Classic.
This scenario. Of a man in stirrups while people were just carrying on their regular day around them.
Yeah.
And women and men moving in and out of the room. And
that's the thing.
And discussions and talking to you about ball games and no pun intended.
And there's not a whole lot of downtime either. Right. Like you're 1 minute you're sitting in a nice comfy couch in the waiting room, and 5 minutes later you're in stirrups and there are people around you. I mean,
I know. Don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me. I'm not here. I'm not here. Right, don't talk to me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Part of me is here, but I'm not here.
I don't even like people, as y'all know, standing near the stall when I'm using the bathroom.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I can't even.
Yeah.
Hence the Valium. Yeah.
By the way, those of you that have sent me emails of bathroom situations in the military. Just another reason I can never be military.
Wow, yeah.
I'm not cut out for military. I openly admit that. I'm so thankful for y'all.
Yes.
I know some of you say, Rick, there's tougher things than the way we go to the bathroom. I got it. But that alone would have stopped me. We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Go. All right, so we know about scams. They're everywhere. I don't know if y'all are like me.
A dozen a day.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think so. And the favorite one, of course, is the famous invoice they want you to dispute.
Yeah.
Well, got your invoice. They'll even thank you for a payment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you panic. What? And they try to get you to click on it and start disputing it, and they need your information, of course, to correct it.
Yeah. I get a lot of the thanks for changing your password. If you did not do it, let us know immediately.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite.
The one, I told you I finally called one of the invoice people. And they answered, and all I said to them is, how stupid do you think I am? And they hung up on me after calling me an SOB. All right, so, all right, let's.
I'd like to find them.
Oh gosh, I would love it.
I'd like to be the new consumer protection program.
Oh, I'd love to come in there
with a
and
stick.
Just. Oh, my goodness. All right, so, but here is
a
person.
You're taking advantage of little old ladies and getting them to send you money.
How about that?
Wouldn't you like to see Buford Pusser get a hold of them?
Yes. Mm. So now,
be careful saying that.
We haven't
good. Right,
yeah.
Easy.
Good, buddy.
Boy, to take on that last name when things right now are so volatile.
I know.
We have a principal. I can't pronounce this county where they are. Volusia, a county, has resigned after sending $100,000 to a scammer posing as Elon Musk.
Now, why in the world would they be sending?
We have a package.
Yeah, let's see what this is.
We have a package.
Package courtesy NBC2.
NBC2 W E S H.
Dr. McGee have always been well thought of.
Yes, Stu. Byrne Science and Technology here is A-rated with just under 1,000 students and a huge waiting list. And the principal who's guided it all these years, Dr. Jan McGee, a superstar in many circles. But a lapse in judgment has cost her her job.
Uh-oh.
I am a very smart lady, well-educated.
Oh, really?
I fell for a scam.
Dr. Jan McGee told a packed audience she was taken in by a fake Elon Musk, someone posing online as the space pioneer, someone she'd been talking with for at least 4 months, despite being warned by staff the person was a fraud. She claims he groomed her.
Grooming is when you talk to somebody and you believe in them, and they get you to trust them that this is really real. And so I fell for it.
For years, Principal McGee had talked to anyone who would listen about getting Musk and his money involved in the STEM school, a stone's throw from the Space Coast, and apparently thought she'd finally gotten his ear.
Somehow she believed it. I mean, I
He must have been really convincing.
So much so, says Burns School Board Chairman Albert Amafitano. McGee wrote this $100,000 check out of the school's account.
No.
She reportedly believed the person she made the check out to was Elon Musk's right-hand man.
Matching funds with this guy, and he was supposed to give like $6 million to the school.
The principal had authorization to write a check up to $50,000 out of the account, but no more without board approval, which she did not get.
Come on.
Fortunately, the school's business manager, Brent Appy, got wind and stopped the check before it cleared.
There we go, Brent.
I put myself into this position and into this mess, and I made a bad decision.
Dr. McGee apologized to the board and the community, but other issues with the principal were brought up, some describing a toxic work environment. When three other administrators said they would leave rather than work for her, McGee resigned and left the meeting with her husband, who was a teacher but has also resigned.
Yeah, he's got to go.
The board chair says it was the only possible outcome.
When you lose the respect and of when your leadership is now in question, you can't properly lead, and if that's going to cause chaos.
He's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, she can't staff to that. I mean, I don't care how good a person some people
you can
like
tell, too, the ones sitting around her, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. I heard what she said, but I don't follow. One, I can't write a check for more than $50,000, so why did you write one?
Yeah.
And two, on what planet do you think you send them $100,000, they give you $6 million?
Yeah, how's that work?
Well, she said she was a smart lady. First of all, if anybody ever tells you that.
If he was going to give $6 million, he would just give it. You wouldn't have to give them money to get it.
Well, did she make that call herself and just...
Yeah, I've been involved, and we've been involved even on the show with this term she used, or that guy used, saying she'd said, matching funds. Yeah. Matching funds never involves you sending them money. Matching funds means if you raise this amount, I'll match it, meaning you now have double that.
Right.
They don't ever ask you to send them the money so they can match it with $6 million. First of all, that's not a match.
Right.
And really, $6 million, $100,000 is such a drop in the bucket to $6 million. If he was going to give that, he would just give it. I mean,
with the matching.
I've never heard of that.
Well, and Helmsy said it.
Radar. And Danger Will Robinson.
Luis Alberto Fernandez.
I don't know if y'all could hear it, but Helmsy said, when people tell you how smart they are and they have to go up and say it for themselves.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And look, the school sounds like it was rocking along, and I'm not saying she didn't do a good job, but I'm just saying in this particular case, this lapse of judgment, there's no way you can keep your job.
You should resign yourself.
Right. Yeah, you and your husband got to go.
Something's fishy here too. We may want to look into Luis Alberto Fernandez and see if she knows the guy or something.
Yeah.
Something's weird happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I wonder if Elon will hear this story and back
and
the
then
school.
It'll be an all set up.
And when making out the check, they weren't sure if it was February or March. They had to change that.
Sure did. Yeah. Right.
They sure did.
That's funny. What does it say on the funds line?
Matching funds.
See there, that's not a. There's no that.
For matching funds.
Don't they know how matching funds works? Let me say this.
It's all speculation.
I will take back.
That almost looks like a payoff.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yes.
Her saying that she's smart. Almost. If Elon Musk ends up sending this school money, I'll go back and say, yes, you were.
Yeah. You were a genius.
Yeah. You were an absolute genius.
Smarter than I thought you were.
And I owe you an apology. And I'm saying I don't think that's far-fetched.
It's not.
No, I think that school's going to get some money.
He gets a hold of this story. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Now, he ain't going to give $6
million.
Nah. He may
actually match it.
Yeah, give him $100,000, you know? So, he could give $100,000 like we would give a bum $5.
Yeah.
Oh, one.
Yeah.
Maybe more like a one.
Well, I'm using one to inflation, me. But I'm using inflation.
10 to you.
Unhoused person, Rick. Unhoused person. We don't say bum anymore, Rick.
Do we not?
No.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Yeah, right. I know. I know you are, but I mean,
there's two terms that I am not going to give up to the woke. It's bum and hobo.
That's right. Because if you're a bum or a hobo, it's obvious.
I am not giving those terms up.
Oh,
because if you're a bum or a hobo, you know what? You know you're a bum or a hobo.
And that takes away an entire culture from New York City. Ah, you're a bum.
Ah, you're a bum.
Ah, you're a bum.
You're a hobo.
Yeah. don't hear that a lot.
Did y'all play like you want to be a hobo when you was a kid?
Absolutely.
Get that stick.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
Every Halloween.
I thought they had an awesome lifestyle.
Top of the hour. Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba. All right, so we have a Adder, let's look at 7. So we have a person who stole a police car.
Oh yeah, I saw.
Have
this.
You seen this? And went on a high speed chase, then jumped out of the car while the car was still going at least 45 miles an hour, and did not survive that. Is that?
No, he took a plunge.
Yeah, he tried to jump out.
Yeah.
Might want to slow that baby down. Get on out.
Yeah. No, the street's pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm just going to.
If you don't believe that, ask Cassio Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should watch that too.
Yeah.
Golly, it reminds me of you racing Sherry.
I know it does.
But I'm just going to leave it in this view here just because it's kind of brutal for YouTube. But it's kind of the play stupid games, win stupid prizes type situation.
Yeah, well, the ultimate.
Think that he was wanting to end it? Because I can't think of any reason he would want to get out right here at that speed.
Oh, Dennis, I want to bring back Stu. Stu, what's going on? He's jumping out of the car. Oh, my goodness. He thought he was gone.
Oh.
He just bailed out of the car, blood. Out of a moving car. Look, it just crashed into the light pole. Oh, my goodness.
See, he'd been better off if he'd crashed in the light pole.
Yeah, that's that.
That's all she wrote.
Wow.
I mean,
that will do it.
I mean, he could have just
stopped the car.
He stopped the car.
He thought he was just going to step out.
Right back of the head.
Oh, yeah.
And
nobody hit, you know, head.
In football, when they get tackled backwards and that head hits.
Oh, and they're out.
So we think 45 miles an hour is not that fast.
But evidently he did.
It's real fast.
Falling off a horse can hurt you,
man. He reached his foot out like he was just going
to
step out.
Let's look at it this way. If you were to get on a treadmill today at 7 miles per hour, step off of it and step back on, it's going to sling you into the wall.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, 45 miles per hour. Wow. It's going to slam you.
Well, here's where we know how bad it is. It killed him.
The road's not moving.
Mm. That hurt.
He could have simply, he didn't even have to hit the pole. He could have went into the field. And just simply got out, stopped the car.
Well, let's
just pull over.
Let's
the brakes out.
Let's go back to step one. Step one is let's don't steal police cars.
Let's start there.
All right. Then step two.
Step one is don't do whatever got you in the position to think that you had to steal a police car.
Yeah.
Then comes step two. I'm in it now. Okay, and I'm riding, and I realize I reach what we call the Greg Haystack Stewart point when you say. I got to come on out. They got me. Yeah. Okay, I'm not gonna win this. It's not gonna end well. I'm pulling the car over because I. You know what? Even if you want to do this, I think I'm gonna run
46 miles an hour.
Pull it over and try to run. I guess, but I would. There's no scenario that you go. I guess I'll just step out the car while it's going 46 miles an hour.
Why?
I really would like to know more. Like when he woke up this morning and he had his cup of coffee, what did the day look like for him?
He twisted his ankle so bad.
Guys, he's dead.
I know, but
I
remind he immediately twisted his ankle.
He did. Well, you will.
But Greg pointed out that he twisted his ankle.
He twisted his ankle. Saying what a day it was.
Right, yeah.
You know what, Bubba? Don't jump out of a car. I don't feel sorry for him.
Right. I don't know.
That's a bad answer.
But I want to know, like, perfect.
Let's say he survives the fall.
You're going to get soccer mom email.
That's right.
Greg, the other night.
Bubba, don't be an idiot.
Just forward him on to Trump.
The other night, Bubba was at his lake house with friends, enjoying a great evening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Came back to Birmingham. His lake house is destroyed. Now, he made a good decision to come home and didn't know, but that was just what I want to know is when the guy woke up that morning and was sipping on his coffee. What did his day look like, and it turned into this?
I don't know. That's all I want to know.
Well, I think about my throughout my life. You're right, and you mentioned that one we just got from Bubba.
Well, I know if he got up thinking he was going to step out of a car going 45, he made a bad call.
He did. But what I'm saying is, how does a day turn?
Right.
That all of a sudden, you ever watched
Monday morning? He did not know until he got the phone call.
Talking about
his
Bubba,
day completely turned.
Right. I can still remember Bubba.
A little bit of it was Bubba's.
I can remember Bubba saying to me, "I got some kind of water issue. I'm getting water since
the day." He said, "Since the door's open."
Yeah. And we were like, "Well, it'll probably be a little hassle, you know."
Well, you've dealt with that stuff in the past. Yeah. It wasn't that big a deal.
But on this particular thing, you know how now, I don't know why, and I'd like to see some of you that make movies and TV shows to stop, because it's been done. We're done with we start with the end.
No, that's
we're
then everything's that way.
This is us started it, and everybody else thinks they have to do.
Guys, right. This going back, I cannot remember the last time I watched a movie or a series that actually started with a narrative and just let it progress and then it ended.
Can we please just,
we go back and forth?
Can we please just walk through things as they're happening? Don't start with I'm being shot at in a police car, and then all of a sudden.
You take us back
10 hours before, like, and then we have to go back.
Well, 24 used to do that, didn't it?
And that was fine because that's what that movie was. I mean, that show was about. But now
everybody would go the 24 hours before.
I think everybody thinks that's sharp now, so they have to do it with everything.
Everybody does. Yeah.
So in this situation, if it was a current show, we would start with him in the police car.
Yes. You're right.
Okay.
Yes, you're right.
And then what you want to know is, all right, let's walk it back.
What led to this?
Yeah, and then it'll show him sitting at the table eating cereal.
Right.
What?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
This morning.
He's sipping on coffee. Who's he talking
to? It'll say 7:30 a.m., and he's sitting there eating like Honey Nut Cheerios.
I got a feeling.
This. What? How is
I don't know why Honey Nut.
How is he keeping the car going?
I know.
Does he have something on the accelerator?
It's just coasting, I
think.
That's
coasting, yeah.
He had it fast enough. It was on its way down.
Yeah, right, see,
so
it's
there
going.
He falls, and then we'll go. Oh, 24 hours earlier,
please. Right. Yeah. That's
Boy, it hurts my head. Just
I did.
You know, he never knew what happened.
What is the correct way of jumping out of a car?
Yeah, stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll.
You got to roll.
You got to roll.
Well,
roll
that.
Find a grassy area.
You're going
area.
40 miles down
and
the road.
Go out the other side. Don't go off the side into the pavement.
You
go
don't
out
step
the other
on
side.
The yellow line.
And it does hurt.
And roll, roll, roll.
But you can survive that. Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba. All right, so, Bubba, we have a pretty heroic audio video here, and the video is not that great, but the audio is. This features Greg Spike, because I don't know about you, I need kind of an uplifting story here. And Greg Spike, who is 74 years old, grandpa to 16 grandchildren, he was on his morning run, which if you're going to be 74 and have 16 grandkids, you got to be in shape. He's in Eugene, Oregon. He heard a woman screaming for help. And what he does to save her as she needs to jump from a burning hotel room is quite selfless and quite amazing. Adam,
he's holding his phone, Rick, and then when he goes to tell her to jump, he drops his phone so you kind of just see the grass or whatever, but you can hear the audio and the struggle of her trying to jump from the balcony into his arms and him soften the fall.
Yeah, he basically lets his body act as... one of those safety mattresses thing. And it's 74.
Yeah. In fact, he's jogging at 74 is pretty good.
It is.
The fire is just...
Wow, the fire.
It is large.
Substantial fire. Oh, wow, the fire.
Baby,
where is she?
Should have seen that point. Oh, no, I hear her.
Get out! Get out! Get out!
Got that,
buddy. Get out!
Should I jump?
Yeah, you gotta jump.
Better jump.
Here! Hurry! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Here! Hit me! Hit me! Come on! Come on! Hurry!
What are we looking at?
Hey, his phone's on the ground.
Here! You got hand! You got my... You got it! Okay, go! 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 I got ya! Go! This way! Oh my God, is anybody else up there?
I don't know! I was in my room myself!
Oh, you're okay now, stop!
Thank you so much!
Deep breath! Deep breath!
Thank you!
Wow!
Wow!
Well, let me tell you, I know that Greg Spike is his name. He kept himself in shape, and in this moment, when somebody's got to jump from a building onto you, you hope they've kept themselves in shape.
Yeah.
Right.
Or
right.
Do you, Rick? Yeah. Remember, you're trying to break the fall.
Well, I mean,
you don't want the big person.
You don't want a big one
you.
Coming out of there.
Yeah.
You
hope no, I mean the one, the catcher. You want a big pad to fall on, you know?
Or a dog.
Well, that's true. You're talking about the catcher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The catcher's a different thing. I know if I am the catcher, I hope the person jumping's kept himself in shape.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
And I tried to catch someone that was a person of weight one time and got injured badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that.
Greg completely ruined that story for me, by the way.
Yeah.
How do you
run it? Me too. Thanks, Greg.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the footage.
Well, yeah, Greg, I mean, we were told.
And I picture somebody changing channels in the car, and they're all like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they're like, what's going on the radio?
We're telling them what's going on, Greg. That's why we have to be narrators.
She looks like she might be a little bit old as well.
I thought
how can you tell? She's upside down.
Her hands, Greg. Look at people's hands, Greg.
What I was saying, Greg, is I thought in this one.
In on the footage.
Well, this is the one that I thought you would actually think was better for radio.
I would like to have seen it.
Because it had audio of what was happening.
First of all, he started
making fun of the guy right out the gate. No. And that started pulling.
He's a hero.
We got that, pal.
And also, it's also hurt you weren't paying attention to any of the setup.
Yes, you're right.
We set it up, Greg.
It doesn't matter. If you didn't hear the setup, all you hear is, ear.
When he's screaming, get out, Greg goes, we got that, pal.
Well, I mean, you know. What are you going to say? Go back in and sit down?
Right.
Well, get out was obvious.
Well, I mean,
look, it's fine.
Okay.
She needed to be encouraged to get out of there.
I think it does help with her age that she was not young.
Let me see what's on the radio.
So jumping from a balcony.
I admit, I had a story that was probably better. Okay, but I mean,
you thought it was more.
I thought it was what we told it was.
Yeah, that's
right. I guess when I read, I don't know. There's no way to know what happened.
When I read about it, I think this might be intriguing.
It's real life.
That a 74-year-old man let somebody
said
jump.
That, you know, he talked to Nanny Carter and she saved.
I will say this too.
We did.
But then we played whatever fiasco.
Greg, do you want to play pitch?
You're right. I do. Look, I'm sorry. I just
think that was a bad. Get a picture of Alice out here.
Jimmy wore off.
It's been too many hours.
Yeah, it wore off.
Rick, I'm
Bubba, tell us something about your mishaps here.
Hurry. I don't know what that was bringing to the table.
Well, I thought it was hard to follow. Well, and of course, you missed one, which is shocking. I guess you were so negative. You had too much negative going at one time that you couldn't get all of it. And that is that he said, hand me your hand, which means she didn't jump that far.
No, I picked up on that and didn't say anything because I knew.
You didn't want to admit it.
I didn't want to say anything about that.
I was hung up on the fact that we talked about this guy being a hero, which he is.
basically,
he was telling her, get out. Get out. Like she needed to be told to get out.
Well, Greg, that's just his reaction to
it. I'm sorry.
Basically, Speedy. Greg, we had a 74-year-old man help somebody off their porch. Okay, and so
he's a hero,
right?
And well, she came over the rail. He helped her.
She came over the rails.
I honestly thought that it was like somebody threw a deep post, and he laid out and caught her. The way we were talking, about
I thought I was going to see somebody jump from the third floor and land on an old man. That's what I thought I was going to say.
I will say this in that lady's mind: that's exactly what happened.
Amen. Yeah.
I think because it showed
you heard her reaction.
Not all heroes wear capes.
I tell you what, we couldn't see was the expression on her face. We couldn't see anything.
Would you want him to hold the phone?
Yeah, I did actually, or somebody else do it.
You would have been critical of that. Been like this person's life's on the line. So you were trying to get footage of it.
That's true. You can't win.
So he should have had somebody with him filming.
I just think it was a very confusing set.
Well, the footage did show if you were looking the height of the balcony, and then she was right there. If you're older,
that
jumping.
How do you
there,
know she's there?
Because she obviously jumped, and she wasn't right. on the second level, though.
She was in one next.
Hopefully,
she's not.
You're talking about her.
He helped her down the stairs.
That was the best part of the video.
Help her down.
I thought she was going to jump out of that on fire and land on him, and he was going to roll and put her out.
Yeah. That's, you know, when you reach up, like Bubba said, somebody's coming down the steps, and you help them because they're fragile.
When I heard hand me your hand, I admit, the story then, you're right, it was.
She reached down from the top, and that's how
and
she
then
did
jumped. That's
it.
Right.
The audio version made it less thrilling.
Okay. Well, then you would have been mad if it had been all video with no audio.
Right.
No, we came
somebody kind of off in a distance.
Right, yeah. Would I like to have seen all the video? Yes. But I mean,
you did not like that segment. You didn't.
Let's call it. Look, if I'm in a burning building, I hope Greg Spike is around me, not Greg Burgess. Well,
the good news is I'll never hear it again because it won't be on the best of. Okay?
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba. To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM. Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.